America Meditating Radio Show. We collect wisdom, inspire each other, and empower hearts 24/7. Hi, I'm Sister Jenna. Join me and guests on Blog Talk Radio as we amplify stories that compel us to be more for ourselves and everyone else around us. Do you like to meditate? Have you tried to meditate? Have you struggled with meditation? Why don't you visit one of the Brahma Kumaris Meditation Center? Visit brahmakumaris.org. The Meditation Museum in Silver Spring, Maryland offers a variety of courses and activities to make your life go a whole lot smoother. Located at 9525 Georgia Avenue, you will be able to experience the beautiful silence that's in the space. There are courses in Raja Yoga Meditation, Positive Thinking, Stress-Free Living, and Personal Development classes. For more information, call us at 301-588-0144 or visit us online at meditationmuseum.org.
Are you in need of a tech service company that's going to deliver the best solutions for your business? Then Atronica is your solutions headquarters. Here we specialize in your individual needs to make sure your business shines. For more information, please call 301-417-0070 or visit us at our website at atronica.net. Atronica, where we deliver for you.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat, I'm stupid. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. The only thing I didn't learn in school today is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Hey, welcome to America Meditating Radio. I'm your host, Sister Jenna. We're broadcasting from the beautiful Meditation Museum in the nation's capital. Yes, it's that time of the year in Washington, D.C., where everyone is coming into the city. The cherry blossoms are sprouting. They're blossoming. Over 5,000 were offered to us by the Japanese, and I can't begin to tell you what it feels like and what it looks like when you're out there. We have a peace tree planted on Capitol Hill. It's an official government tree, and I went out there yesterday, me and Happy, you know, our little mascot puppy. We went out there, and I could have started crying. Apparently, the old peace tree that we planted about 15 years ago must have picked up some sort of a virus, so they had to cut that down, and they replanted a new peace tree. My friends, that tree looked so skinny, like it hadn't gotten water for 20 years, and around it were all these beautiful cherry blossom trees. And I was like, isn't that a blip? That's exactly what spirituality is like. Always up against the grain. Sometimes you've got to break yourself down to build yourself back up. But I'll tell you this, when I'm done feeding that tree with some good Miracle-Gro and everything, in about 3 or 4 years, when you come to the nation's capital and go and visit my Om Shanti Peace Tree. It's right there by the Peace Tower on the south side of the Capitol. You will be like, that's what consciousness does. We're so glad that you can join us on America Meditating Radio. We've been tickled to death about just the incredible attention and contribution this radio show has been doing, and I'm humbled by your love and your support. As we move into this very interesting time in our country, this political campaign is no joke. I spoke to one of my friends that's a moderate advocate for Islam. And I was so cute. I said, Zainab, tell me, are you going to be working for Trump's candidacy? Are you going to be on his team pretty soon? Please tell me you're going to be voting for Donald Trump. She laughed like a thousand smiles. And she's like, look, before I vote for anyone of that caliber, I'd be rather going back to my country and just dealing with what I have to deal with there. So the point that I'm making, it's a very interesting time. There is no way in the 21st century we could be still talking about separation, who is to be loved and who's not to be loved, what is up and what is down. There is no way we can be having this kind of conversation. I want you to stay tuned because we're going to have a wonderful guest. Jordan doesn't know this, but I was in Rajasthan, India, 2 weeks ago, and someone in Rajasthan, India, in an ashram on the mountain top of the Brahma Kumaris said, do you know Jordan Back? I says, no, I've never heard of him. Oh, sister, Jenna, you've got to interview Jordan Back. And I go, who is Jordan Back? And they showed me Jordan's video, and I'm so pleased that we're going to be interviewing Jordan today. So please hold the line. Right before I get Jordan on the air, I want us to do what we do best here, and that is to go into our zone of silence and meditation. And I'd want us to keep sending these pure feelings to our nation and to the candidates that are running for our country. Whoever shows up, okay, we're going to have to live with it. But for now, please, let us pause for silence and let us amplify our own divinity and love and wisdom, please, as we go into letting go from my off the grid into the heart meditation CD. Breathe in. Om Shanti. The time that we choose to be aware doesn't necessarily require me to just sit and meditate. But even while I walk and move around, I can be in a meditative awareness, which is awareness of the soul, the original, eternal, imperishable being of light. For a little while, I'd like to invite you to be present, to be here, and to be now. Allow your mind to settle in the moment, to relax. This meditation is about awareness. It's about becoming aware of your original and eternal self. It's about connecting to your truth. Let go of your name. And observe yourself feeling nameless. Let go of your gender to discontinue thinking you're a man or a woman. Let it go and observe how you would feel walking around without a gender. Let go of the role that you play and let go of the titles that you own. Observe how you're feeling as you are gradually letting go. Let go of your religion and put it aside just for now. And let go of your nationality and even the language that you're accustomed to. Imagine you have no name, gender, role, title, religion, nationality, or even a language. Ask yourself, how do you feel at this moment? And in this feeling, who would think of you and who would you think of? The Supreme Soul would think of you, and you, the liberated soul, would think of the Supreme. In this state of absolute freedom, I am truly who I am. A free, peaceful, pure, immortal, and eternal soul. Allow yourself to just be absorbed in this awareness. This time, welcome back. That was from my Off the Grid Into the Heart meditation CD. Isn't that your favorite track, Letting Go? And offering the soul in a chance to experience its divinity, its light, its beauty, its power. Hey, the America Meditating Radio is really happy to welcome Jordan back. Jordan is a spiritual teacher and life coach, recognized as one of the most influential gay teachers on the modern spiritual scene by PQ Monthly. Jordan's inspirational messages reach a new generation of people searching for fulfillment and inner peace. And in 2013, The Advocate named him an LGBT architect of the next decade, listed him among the 40 on the 40 most accomplished leaders. Jordan has been featured on Sirius XM Radio, Hay House Radio, Huffington Post, GQ, and much more. He appeared regularly on Logo TV's Secret Guide to Fabulous, produced by Kelly Ripper and Mark Consuelo. In addition to his coaching practice, Jordan is a GLAAD, G-L-A-A-D, media partner and consults with major corporations on LGBT brand initiatives. You know, I found out about Jordan when I was in India, Rajasthan, just 2 weeks ago. I was up there and I was having a conversation with two of my brothers and we were talking about a television show that I'm doing. And they says, "You don't know Jordan back?" And I go, "No, I've never heard of him." And then they showed it to me and I said, "Oh my gosh, this is exactly the kind of voice we want to continue to amplify." And today we're very proud to welcome Jordan. Hi.
Hello, Sister Jenna.
How are you? Thank you. Can you believe I heard about you all the way up in India, halfway across the globe?
That just, I mean, is so cool. It is so cool all the way over there.
Not even is it all the way halfway across the world from where you are. It's in an ashram with 20,000 yogis meditating. We're remembering you. So FYI, you're doing something, my brother. You're doing something.
That makes me feel good. I could use that in the morning.
Oh, of course you could. Hey, you are known as, you know, a prominent spiritual teacher. And what I love the most about what appealed to me was the fact that your presence and your being you and working more into who you are is amplifying what I would say a deeper sense of self-worth in the LGBT community. And so I would like to kind of find out what is it that's been moving you on your spiritual path. And I'm going to ask you a big one first thing in the morning. Tell us what's the difference between religion and spirituality, because I think it has played such a huge role in individuals who are really trying to understand who they really are on the inner dimension of themselves.
Sure. For me, religion has, you know, I grew up with two atheistic parents in Boston, Massachusetts, which is, you know, increasingly secular. The Northeast of America is one of the more secular parts of the country. Lots of liberal intellectuals. And my father, you know, sitting around the dinner table growing up, would look at me square in the eye and say, "Anyone who believes in any spiritual thing or a guy sitting in the clouds who's looking over them is intellectually feeble and just seeking comfort." And yet, a part of me, and yet, what were you going to say?
No, I'm just listening. I'm just smiling. Go ahead.
Growing up, despite that, growing up, since I was a very little boy, I had what I now, in retrospect, look back and think of as a deeper inner knowing. When I was little, though, it was just this feeling, this experience of a guiding, protective force over me. And so to answer your question, I feel that one of the major differences between religion and spirituality is that spirituality centers on experience, on one's own personal experience of the divine, of God, and religion oftentimes focuses on the belief, on the almost sort of intellectual assent to the ideal of the divine and God, which is not to say that there aren't deeply religious people who have a profound spiritual experience of the divine, but it is to say that there are a lot of spiritual people, people who have had experiences much like the ones I had when I was younger, just feeling guided, who don't align with any particular religion or set of beliefs.
You know, it was something that you said when you said religion is so much about belief. We worked with Oprah Winfrey last year on a television series that she released called Belief. Yeah, and it was interesting because when you said, like, religion is about belief, I was thinking it in expansion. It's about the belief someone else had, but the question is, what is it that I am experiencing that I need as my own belief or my own conviction? Such as if I give sorrow, of course I believe I'm going to get sorrow. And so, you know, to me, I look at spirituality from that perspective as well, and I think that inner knowing when you were young, I think spirituality is something that touches an innocence in our spirit that just cannot stay hidden.
Yes, you're so right about it touching the innocence of you, the core of you. And I think being able to, you know, I had an experience when I was 3 or 4 years old where I was alone in my crib. That was, I guess, right before the age where you get a bed, you're still in the crib. And my parents were gone from home and my grandmother was watching us. And I woke up from a nap on a bright sunny day. I can see it right now. This bright sun was streaming through the window. And I woke up and somehow I intuitively knew that my grandmother was all the way in the basement of the house doing the laundry. And yet, as a tiny little 3 or 4 year old child, the trek, the trip that it would take me, and all of the effort to get out of my crib, to go all the way down the hall, down the stairs, it seemed like the greatest trek ever as a, you know, 2-foot-tall person. And yet I had this intense fear come over me. And then all of a sudden, you know, some people say they hear the voice of God, but I didn't hear some booming voice. It came as a little percolating, bubbling up feeling, a knowing for sure that I was guided and protected, and the voice felt like, it's okay, go get Nan, you're going to be okay. And having that experience of knowing that I was guided and protected is something that has followed me my whole life, and that's what I try and share with people every day.
But I think that's what makes your message so impactful. It's resonating with so many people. And again, I can only emphasize, I deeply believe that when my innocence or that purity, that part that's recorded in all of us is touched or used, it does that. It guides us to a level that it makes the lives of other people better. Now, I want to turn the conversation as to why it seems that that innocence is not touching some religious fundamental folks. Like, religion is sometimes used, you know, to stir up anti-gay sentiment and hatred. And how do you respond to religious extremists when you know there is this purity and goodness that's inside of everyone? Like, how do you tap into that for them to help them along their journey?
Well, I think the real miracle here in this conversation on this particular topic, the real miracle requires a shift in perception of these people. And that is, you know, usually we think of anti-gay religious people as bad and as almost willfully ignorant. And so we can get frustrated. Those of us who have already experienced, you know, life, healthy, happy, loving, gay life, full of the fruits of the Spirit that Jesus talked about, when we're confronted by people who say, you know, you're a sin, sometimes it can be our first instinct to want to lash out and say, what are you talking about? You are making no sense. Unfortunately, like Martin Luther King said, you have little moral persuasion over people who can feel your underlying contempt. And so our job and our task, I think, as LGBT people incarnating now on this planet, is to serve as teachers. That doesn't necessarily mean you need to go out and write a book or go on a radio show. What it means is we have to demonstrate what it means to love. I feel LGBT people are a gift from God, and that's because we're here to expand humanity's vision of what love is. And so if we have a fundamentalist in front of us, we look at them and try and understand how they came to believe the things that they do. And with that level of understanding and compassion, you may not change them over the course of a 20-minute conversation, but you have the power to start a really deep conversation and plant the seeds of greater understanding within them.
I love when you said the LGBT incarnate at this time to show love. And it kind of brings a very huge, I think it sends a huge sound into consciousness that we are really living through a time period where we are being called to be like our Creator, loving, accepting, and embracing. But I particularly love the way that you coined that when you said, I'm incarnating as this at this time. And that just rings volumes. And so there could be a sense of more embracing it, accepting it, and knowing that that too will pass and move on. And I think that's huge. You know, you've said that when you first started coaching people, you found that you attracted some clients who were struggling to reconcile with their sexual orientation and gender identity, with their spiritual and religious beliefs. What are some of the things that you offered them that helped them to reconcile? So someone who's listening on the show today will walk away feeling like, wow, I got it.
Well, you know, right back to what we first started talking about, which is, what are some of the differences between most religions and a real, genuine, deeply felt spiritual deeply felt spirituality? And that is that it's not so much about your belief in God or what you've read about God or what other people say God says. It's about your experience of the divine, which is to say your experience of joy and hope and forgiveness. And the things that really, you know, one of my favorite terms to use, because it's been so important in my life, is softening the heart. And I find that experiences that soften my heart, that open me up to other people's pain, that open me up to become aware of the places where I've been hiding my own, really bring me in close contact with that which I call the divine. And that can happen as much in a church, a mosque, or a temple as it can at a nightclub when you're with your friends and the music is blasting and you take a deep breath and you look around and your friends are happy and smiling at you and you think to yourself, I'm so grateful for this. And that's in a nightclub. And someone next to you is drinking and smoking, and that's fine. The important thing is, has your experience of life been deepened and enriched? And I think when you look at it that way, you can then see your spiritual life as an everyday process that you show up for at every single moment.
I loved that, softening the heart. And as you said it, I felt like softening my eyes. You know, it's like the real ultimate kind of compassion. And I think it's important. Jordan, how do you spend your day-to-day life? Like, what's life like for Jordan on a day-to-day process?
Well, I'm a bit of a workaholic. You know, they say Capricorn. I'm a Capricorn. And I'm a double Capricorn, which is to say, for those people who aren't familiar with astrology, my sun sign is Capricorn, and my rising sign is Capricorn, and then my moon is in Virgo. So what this means, what I've heard it means, is that I'm a workaholic. And I never really understood that because I've always been the laziest person on the planet. But that means I'll usually wake up and immediately start working. And I don't know how this will bode for me as my life continues, but I wake up, I start working, and I always, before I start working, of course, and to speak to the topic of your show every day, I always make time to close my eyes and connect with the part of myself that's deepest. And I say a line from A Course in Miracles as a sort of mantra, which is, there is a place in me where there is perfect peace. And I use that mantra to guide me to that place. My eyes closed, I take a few deep breaths. And that has become a habit, a reflexive habit, like brushing my teeth. So before I get started with my day, before I, you know, grab my laptop and bring it out to the couch with a cup of coffee, I've done that. And I did it this morning and thought about this show. And I said to myself, you know, let me speak from a deeply peaceful space rather than talking from my anxiety about this video I have to record later or all of my other anxieties. Let me just abide here for a while and from a place of peace. And then that enables us, when we do that, to choose where we will speak from, act from later on in the day.
Beautiful. Jordan's vision for his better tomorrows. I know that you must be a very now person. Let's do it now. Let's do something beautiful today and now. And maybe you're not a procrastinator. Maybe you were when you were younger. But what's your vision of a better Jordan and a better LGBT community?
Oh, wow. Now, that's your biggest question. And I'm always talking about vision with people and with my clients. My vision is really to be, you know, for me personally, is to be I actually wrote it down in my journal about a year ago. I wanted to clarify for myself, what is it that you're trying to do here, you know? And I wanted to make it really succinct and clear. And I wrote down, I want to be a massive inspiration to other people in the same way that people who have been an inspiration to me have touched me and have moved me and have brought me closer to who I feel I've always been. And my vision for the LGBT community, for the gay community, for the trans community, is to really come into our own. So my way of coming into my own is by a spiritual path. And for other people, it may be different. But knowing that we've incarnated here, LGBT people have incarnated here to expand humanity's vision of what love is by expressing themselves in different sex and gender identities, let's become more of who we are. So whatever that takes, if it takes going to a great, you know, cycling class at the gym with good music, whether it takes, you know, talking to a life coach, whether it takes reading books about our community's history, whatever it takes for us to really become more of who we really are so that we can move forward with the work we were sent here to do. That's my vision.
Gorgeous. I have no idea how much your story is an inspiration, but also a reality because it is so timely, George. And it's so needed. And I think we need many, many more examples of massive inspirations. And you're definitely one of them. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. And please come back if you're up to anything that you'd love for us to amplify and share. Is there an event or a program that you've got coming up in New York or anywhere else in the country?
There is an event coming up, actually. I am speaking at an event called Spirit Junkie Masterclass with my friend Gabrielle Bernstein, and that is in June in New York City. It's a live event, but it will be available later digitally. But I'm speaking about how to use social media to be a force for good in the world, and I am, and we are, Gabby and I, using this weekend at Spirit Junkie Masterclass to enable, empower people who want to be healers and teachers and coaches to be part of this vision that I'm talking about. And so if you're interested in this, go to thebachbook.com and sign up for my newsletter, and you will get first dib information on access to that event. And also, I think, some bonuses that I'm offering alongside it.
Jordan Back, thank you so very much. All the very best with everything that you're doing, and keep being massive.
Thank you, and right back to you. God bless you. Thanks so much.
Same to you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There were so many special things that came out of my conversation with Jordan today. I loved the softening of the heart, and I love the fact that the LBGT has incarnated to really show love and to expand our capacity of love. And who cannot be inspired after such nuggets first thing in the morning? I hope you've enjoyed our conversation, and feel free to listen to this conversation 24/7 by downloading the Pause for Peace app. Having you as a part with us on our journey has made this a very meaningful experience for me and everyone here. We want to continue to keep you close and to the heart. Please visit our new website, americameditating.org. Let us know what you think. We're really excited about how it turned out. And remember, no one can take away your happiness unless you give them permission. And we are here to love each other the same. So let's do that. Here's Lifted by Lucinda. Take care, everyone. And let's love some more. Bye-bye.